I've been lucid dreaming for about 15 years. I started practicing when I was about 19 or 20. And so now, you know, I guess that, do the math, I'm a little older now. And so I've got some many, many years, many, many experiences, and some interesting techniques that I learned along the way for lucid dreaming and for just simple my own spiritual health anyways.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about lucid dreaming today. That's what the whole hour is about. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can also drop me a line at spiritualshow@gmail.com and I'll pass your question on to Jason as well. Again, the number is 822-2487. So first of all, I want to mention also that you can reach me online at spiritualshow.com. Check out my site. I've also listed some courses and workshops that are available for a couple are available for as little as just $1. So they kind of offer them on a sliding scale to make sure that everyone can afford them. So there's a class on spoon bending.
Ooh.
So yeah. Good party tricks.
Yeah, no doubt. My class in spoon bending is really expensive. It's a gym membership.
So check out spiritualshow.com. And again, if you want to ask a question, you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com or call 604-822-2487. So Jason, what got you started lucid dreaming?
I was just always interested in dreaming. I remember as a child having like some lucid dreams just as a kid. And so I guess it just kind of always fascinated me. And so I just decided basically I'm going to have a lucid dream. And so I wrote the word dream on my hand for a few weeks. And every time I saw it, when I was washing my hands, I'd tell myself, oh, you're dreaming right now. And I'd look around and I'd imagine and feel it was a dream. And soon enough, I had a lucid dream. And then that feeling was pretty fantastic. And I went in there and just explored. And yeah, it was quite interesting. I ended up breaking through some consciousness barriers, I would say. Through lucid dreaming, I began to have out-of-body experiences and to be able to practice with crystals while dreaming and while on the astral plane. Like, yeah, after some time, it becomes quite an adventure.
Cool. Okay, so just in case, I think most people probably know what lucid dreaming is, but just in case there's someone out there who doesn't know, what really is a lucid dream? What kind of things happen in a lucid dream?
Well, basically, you just become aware that you're dreaming. As soon as it happens, you get an incredible sensation of wonder and just amazement. And often you'll wake up right away because that feeling is so great. But once you have a few lucid dreams and you begin to gain more control in the dreams, you can start to basically ask dream characters questions. You can change the way the dream goes. You can search for information. You can heal yourself. You can do great, great magic in your psyche. You can also do some harmful magic in your psyche. I mean, lucid dreaming is, well, it's a wonderful experience and it's a great door. It's also, you have to be cautious because you are playing with your mind and your unconscious. So it's worthy of exploration, but with a logical approach. And I'm going to touch on some spiritual books here for a second. They'll always tell you that before you explore anything like that, you should really focus more on purity. And as cheesy as that might sound, you shouldn't go into your brain, into your dreams, and do dangerous things. That's for sure. You shouldn't act out aggressively or do anything of that nature in your dreams. It's a place for growth.
So what about people who, I mean, we all have dreams where we do things that we wouldn't normally do in waking life, and sometimes those things can be disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone does something aggressive in a regular dream,
well, that's usually just I mean, you're not consciously acting aggressive. You wake up and you have a dream. You're like, oh, wow, I was really aggressive in that dream. You tear that dream apart, explore it, flip it over, see the many layers of symbols that are there. that's kind of natural. That's like you're learning from that experience. The dream's trying to tell you something. That aggression is like guiding you into a direction in the dream. It's like you can learn from it. Why are you being aggressive? What's causing that? You know, what's happening in the dream, maybe look for reflections in life so that you can stop this event from happening or change the way that you approach certain events, you know. But if you go into a dream and you're like, well, I'm going to go and get vengeance on this person who, like, I'm going to go and maybe, hey, this is a dream, maybe I can contact them through the dream world and I'll go and I'll, like attack them or tell them something bad or say like, I hate you and like whatever. You shouldn't do that because you're not only, yes, there are barriers and you will be able to contact people and you'll be able to get contacted as well. But there's different layers of experience. There's lucid dreaming and there's out of body experiences. And if you're simply dreaming, you're actually acting out that aggression to a reflection of yourself. Your own ego, because your dreams, they are always you. You know, you can use them as a gate, but your dreams are you, and you don't want to do violence against yourself.
Okay, so you mentioned some, again, if you want to get on the air and ask a question about lucid dreaming, we're speaking with Jason Paulett right now, and he's been lucid dreaming for 15 plus years, has tons and tons of dream journals, and is actually thinking about possibly doing a show on CITR, somewhat similar to this, but with a Jason twist.
Yes.
So give us a call, 822-2487, if you want to get on the air, or email spiritualshow@gmail.com. And so, Jason, you mentioned some negative things that can happen. So can you give me an example or two of what kind of negative things happened when you've been lucid dreaming?
I can, actually. When I first got started in lucid dreaming, I was quite amazed. And I, I needed advice. I wanted to talk to somebody who had experiences as well. And my mind was blown. I couldn't believe that, you know, we have experiences without flesh, you know. We can have an experience that tonight that changes the way tomorrow works. And it amazed me. And so I basically spoke to somebody who touted themselves as a psychic, and I asked them for advice because I had been basically seeing the same character in these dreams, which had now progressed to out-of-body experiences. And he told me that this person was dangerous and I should turn my back on them and send them away. And foolishly, being naive and new to the processes.
So now this was turn your back on them and send them away in your dream.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so I did this. And it turns out that this archetype or image or even possibly disembodied awareness, because this was during the times when I started having out-of-body experiences, was a guide of some sort. And I have never seen him since. But since I turned him away at that point, I began having much, much darker experiences out of body. I've made, like, you can make connections with awarenesses. You have to realize that the invisible worlds are like an ocean with many awarenesses in them. And as often as there's dolphins and angelfish, there's sharks and there's stingrays. And it's a dangerous place. And, you know, time is different there. So they can be ancient beings who have known humans to come and go, who can, you know, basically imagine like a moth to a candle flame, or like a leech that can take energy from you. At the same time, it can whisper in your ear. So let's say it feeds off fear. So it attaches to your energy and it hangs out near you. And at the same time, when you sleep, it sends you messages or makes the dreams darker. Or if you're lucid dreaming, you ask questions of your dreams and it will come. And it can give you advice in different directions. It sounds very strange, but in my case, I would say it's become beneficial because I've learned to be a very strong dreamer because of it. And I've learned to strengthen my energy field with various techniques on the astral plane, taking crystals over and learning to psychically defend myself in the invisible worlds. And so I would say it's dangerous only because those first few years when I was having those experiences. I don't want to go too much into the personal psychology of my dreams, but I was fed fear for a long time, and I tended to believe too much in some of the advices that I got. The advices, it's interesting play on words, that Freud, that lead to vices. You know, it's you just have to qualify who you're speaking to in the dream. You have to make sure that you're there for a good purpose, and you know, always send positivity in the dream, and never be naive. It's a difficult journey, and you should always trust in yourself before you trust any illusions.
Okay, cool. So if you want to get on the air and ask Jason Pollitt a question about lucid dreaming, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR or spiritualshow@gmail.com. So have you had a lucid dream, or are you interested in lucid dreaming and maybe you're struggling to get started? Give us a call, 604-822-2487. I'll put you on the air and you can ask your question. So Jason, I'm curious about, have you ever, I want to get into techniques in a bit here, because that's really important. But have you ever, you know, when dreams, and I guess this is kind of the definition of a lucid dream, is that it feels really real, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a dream that felt so real and then, you know, you wake up and, like, I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have dreams that were much more vivid than now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would grab onto something in my dream and I'd be surprised when I woke up and it wasn't in my hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Have you ever, I don't know, maybe this is too like woo woo or whatever, but have you ever woken up with something from your dream? And do you think that that's possible?
Physical? Yeah. No, I haven't woken up with something physical, but I've certainly woken up with new perspectives and information and, you know, even little gifts of creativity. But I've never pulled anything physical from a dream, like in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies where she wakes up with Freddy Krueger's hat.
Ah!
It's never happened. But I have pulled things into dreams. And crystals are quite an ancient technology. And yeah, you can use crystals in various ways. I've slept with crystals in my hand, become lucid, pulled the crystals' energy into the dream, and even seen great balls of light in my hand while holding the crystal. I've also astral projected. I now collect crystals after like about 7 years of just practicing lucid dreaming on its own. Now I have some tools, and during an out-of-body experience, I can go to my crystals and grab a specific crystal and use it on my chakras. I can look into a crystal and ask questions and see images. And yeah, different crystals have different qualities, like channeling crystals, generator crystals, and they all have healing properties. And they also just amplify energy. Again, you need to be careful with the technology, because you don't want to put negative energy into a crystal, because it amplifies it and you can do damage. You always need to be careful, but yeah, I've pulled things into dreams. It's very interesting, the things that you can do with crystals.
Okay, cool. So I have this little ball of celestite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, do you have any of that? It's like a really light, pale blue.
Yeah, it's a blue color.
It's supposed to help with lucid dreaming,
right? I do actually have some celestite.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. The chunk that I have is, it's a very nice chunk. My uncle gave it to me. It's a rocky chunk. It's not smooth in any way, but it's a nice blue stone.
Nice.
Yeah, I've used celestite for dreaming. I've used jade for dreaming. I've pulled quartz into dreams, amethyst, citrine, lemurian quartz. I've used channeling crystals. There's so many kinds. I find like celestite and jade, I find really comforting stones for dreaming. You can hold them and you know, I've had increased clarity from them, but I haven't really done magical spells with them the way that I would with a quartz crystal.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll get more into that in just a minute. It's time for a break. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR or spiritualshow@gmail.com. If you don't have access to a phone or you're long distance, whatever, then spiritualshow@gmail.com or 604-822-2487. We'll be back with more on lucid dreaming, talking with Jason Pollitt here, who has over 15 years experience as a lucid dreamer. And this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm. Friday, July 24th, the Pains of Being Pure at Heart bring dreamy, noisy pop in four pieces from New York to the Biltmore Cabaret. Joining them will be special guests Girls and Champagne Socialists. Tickets for the show are available online at www.ticketweb.ca. Show gets going at 9:30 and doors open at 8, so bring everyone you can to hear the Pains of Being Pure at Heart, Friday, July 24th.
His only business. I always liked him.
He understands that.
Excuse me, sir.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
Can't do it, Sally.
Presented by Sealed with a Kiss. Abe Vigoda and Tabo Tangora punk up the Media Club on Friday, July 31st. 695 Canby Street. Go early. Doors open at 7 for an early show that ends at 10, so don't miss it. Get your tickets now at Red Cat Records or online.
Friday, July 24th, the Pains of Being Pure at Heart bring dreamy, noisy pop in four pieces from New York to the Biltmore Cabaret. Joining them will be special guests Girls and Champagne Socialists. Tickets for the show are available online at www.ticketweb.ca. Show gets going at 9:30 and doors open at 8, so bring everyone you can to hear the Pains of Being Pure at Heart, Friday, July 24th.
On Thursday, July 30th, the Biltmore Cabaret hosts SSRI's Homecoming Show. Celebrating their North American tour, SSRI's return with Ghost House, Hermetic and Char2D2. Doors open at 8 for the show at 9. And to sweeten the deal, copies of the freshly repressed Teams EP will be on hand. Catch the SSRI's Thursday, July 30th.
Scenic Drive every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Here I am. That was Wayne Dyer. Woohoo, love Wayne Dyer. So we're talking with Jason Pollitt, who is a very experienced lucid dreamer. Now, Jason, you mentioned that you had an article on an out-of-body experience that you had. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, basically, I was published in the Entheogen Review in the winter 2006 edition for my experiences out of body. Basically, that's it's the Journal of Unauthorized Medicine of Visionary Plants, and I had an experience with a plant called Iboga from Africa. And Iboga is a supremely potent dream-inducing plant. It's not what would be considered a hallucinogen.
So did you take, like it was like popping peyote or something, or did you dream about it, or did you take?
No, I actually took Iboga, and it's not illegal in Canada. It's, okay. It's illegal in the United States, but it's not illegal in Canada. It's actually used for therapy, for treating several addictions like heroin addiction, alcoholism, and stuff like that. It blocks opiate receptors. It's a powerful plant. It's a powerful healing plant. And there's this MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies, and several different groups do studies on things that, you know, aren't common, and Iboga is one of those things. And the thing about Iboga is it's considered onirific, which means dream inducing. So it's actually dream inducing. And so I took it as an experiment to explore and see what happened. And wow. You know, it's very, I wouldn't recommend anybody go out there and get iboga and just start trying it, because, you know, I had a nurse there, and I did in a safe setting. I had my blood pressure checked, every 45 minutes. And yeah, you have, again, always be careful when you're doing things that, especially something like that. But, yeah, it was basically amazing dreams, tremendous psychic experiences and disembodied voices, conversations with other languages. I saw my higher self. I saw like a great warrior jump out of my body, a samurai with dark robes and no face who was like about to battle a demon. I was actually having this experience where I was laying in bed and there's this powerful ghost standing over my body, and, I'd been banishing like things all night. I've been saying, get out, leave me alone. And because you're really open to that. It's the only thing I've ever experienced where it was a gate to another world, like a door. I was actually literally in between worlds for like 5 hours. And so basically this thing wouldn't leave. It was way too powerful. Would not get off me. And I had basically this warrior jump out from within me and unleash a little ball of light from his solar plexus as if he was pulling a sword out, and this ghost vanished. It's a beautiful experience. Very powerful.
Cool. Well, it looks like we have someone up on the phone. The phone is ringing. So let's just see who's there. Hi, caller.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, that was great. First time. I was actually just going to call you guys about the iboga thing, and I thought that would be kind of strange to phone about that, and then Jason was talking about that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that it definitely does work, and as he was mentioning, you've got to really take care when you do it. However, personally, it's changed my life, and you know, I've watched it change other people's lives too. But the point is, the whole dreaming thing, I find the music also helps quite a bit, using old rhythms and classical Indian music and whatnot. And as well as, you know, something like iboga, you actually have someone that's going to be sitting with you.
Yeah, no, that's very important to have somebody there with you. Iboga is an extremely powerful experience.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give you support on that, and I love your show. I listen to it every Friday, and I think it's awesome.
Awesome, thanks.
So keep it up.
All right, thank you for calling in.
All right, I look forward to continue listening.
Awesome, thanks.
Thanks.
So, yeah, if you want to get on the air to talk about lucid dreaming, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. It's nice to get confirmation that people are actually listening, because I know you could be listening online at CITR.ca or CosmicDimensions.com, or maybe on rebroadcast at EmpowerRadio.com. But if you're in Vancouver and you're listening to 101.9 FM, it's kind of sketchy at times, because we've got the antenna is on top of, like, what, Brock Hall or something?
Yeah, and it kind of wavers over.
It's pretty wimpy.
To the islands broadcast.
It's really weird, because you could be in one spot and get it perfectly, and then you go inside your house and you can't get it, or it's just really weird. So yeah, hopefully you're getting reception wherever you are on the planet. So yeah, and you can call us from wherever you're at, 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. So we're talking about this drug, and you had this, or this plant.
Yes.
Sounds like mushrooms or something. I haven't done any hallucinogenics or anything like that, because I'm kind of wary of but
yeah, that's understandable. I mean, you know, it's again, you're playing with your energies and your own psychology. But the iboga is used clinically as ibogaine to basically help. It's not like a magic bullet, but they use it in treating addiction to basically give the person an incredible spiritual experience. Like, they're taken into visions and deep depths of themselves to discover who they are, why they do the things they do, even get different probabilities for future outcomes, I found. And I also, it felt like a complete resetting of my energy and mind when the experience was over. My energy was so clear. I felt like I just had an energy flush, and my brain had been defragged, like my hard drive, and it was very, very healthy experience. But it's not, you're not going to do anything on it. You're going to lay in your bed for the entire experience in the dark. You can't move. Everything's wobbly. It's supremely intense. You'll throw up. It's so potent. The buidi in
that sounds like. I mean, I haven't done peyote, but I've known of it, and you throw up with peyote too. And
yeah,
it's
I haven't done peyote myself.
They're a little. It's a little cactus.
Yeah. Yes, I know peyote for sure. The Carlos Castaneda books, which talk a lot about dreaming, where I got some techniques from, they did some peyote and stuff in those plants and different power plants.
Yeah, and it's from what I've heard, it's pretty intense and quite a long lasting. I mean, you're basically eating a poison, right? I mean, that's what makes you trip out is because it's kind of a poison.
Well, it's interesting. Some plants are poison and some are medicine. Like, the thing about iboga is it actually helps block opiate receptors, helps to stop the sensations of withdrawal for the time of the experience. So people who are trying to kick a habit, like a heroin habit, you obviously have to be very clean when you go into the experience. You have to, you know... You'd talk to an iboga therapist about it, and they'd set you up how to go about the process properly. But essentially it blocks opiate receptors. So it helps the brain in some way. It connects. And like alcohol, as far as I understand, when you drink it, you do get drunk because you're poisoning yourself. Your body starts to shut down. But plants like even marijuana, I've heard we have THC receptors. And so your brain absorbs something and utilizes some things like vitamin A and B and some things it rejects and you feel silly on them. But I think some plants are poison and some are medicine. There's a great quote, actually. Poison in the hands of a wise man is medicine and medicine in the hands of a fool is poison. So, you know, I think that's an interesting... way to look at plants.
Okay, cool. Well, it's time for just a really quick break, and we'll be back with more on lucid dreaming. We're speaking with Jason Pollitt today on Synchronicity. He has over 15 years of lucid dreaming experience, and coming up, we're going to talk about techniques. So keep it locked on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We'll be back in just a second.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry!
Rude boy, don't cry!
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And geez, surprise, surprise, we have another caller on the line here. So let's get started with this caller. Hi, hello. Oh, well, I guess they're gone. So if you're trying to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Maybe that person got a little shy at the last second there.
They were going to request a song.
I've had that before. Some guy, I had Venus Andrecht on the show, and he was like, "Oh, I had this dream about a talking head, and I want to request talking heads." Venus was like, "What?" But anyway, moving on. So
that's awesome, man.
We're here to talk.
I love the audience of tripped him out.
I love the audience of CITR because it's just so varied. It's not like the standard music stations where you've got, you know, the little hip hop people or the pop people. It's just like so eclectic, and you never know who's going to pick up the phone and dial 822-2487.
Yeah, no, very open-minded people out here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Plus it's college radio, so, you know, people who like, you know, really good obscure music and just new things. Yeah.
Awesome. It's an awesome station. That's why we're here to have our shows here. So, okay, let's talk about some techniques on how to induce lucid dreaming. You talked about writing the word dream on your hands.
Yeah, basically, hands are a really good way to induce a lucid dream. I wrote the word dream on my hands, and I just used it as a trigger to remember that I'm lucid dreaming. And basically what happens in life carries over into your dreams. So eventually you'll look at your hands in your dream and be like, oh, I'm dreaming. And even Carlos Castaneda that I mentioned earlier in some of his techniques, a great book that I read called The Art of Dreaming, had the technique of looking at your hands. You just simply look at your hands throughout the day and you tell yourself you're dreaming. And you'll have a dream and you'll look at your hands in the dream because you repeat what you do when you sleep, and you'll be like, oh, I'm dreaming. And you'll be like, wow, I am dreaming. And you test the dream. That's another way, actually, to induce a lucid dream, is to test reality during the day. For example, like right now I'm pushing my finger through this desk. I'm like, but if I really get the sensation of dreaming, try and get the feeling of belief that I can put my finger through this desk, then I create that feeling. And in a dream, I'll do the same process. I'll test a dream and, oh my God, my finger went through the desk. I am dreaming. And so if you test reality during the day, you'll eventually test it while you dream. And that is a really good way of inducing a lucid dream.
So one of the things that I've heard about testing lucid dreams is to look at like a clock or pick up a book and look at the words and then look back, because they usually they'll change, because dreams are like that, right?
Yeah, dreams fluctuate moment to moment. So yeah, that's actually another technique that I picked up from the art of dreaming, is to constantly shift your awareness. So if you come lucid in a dream, you're looking at your hands and you're lucid. If I was dreaming right now, I'd be like, oh, I'll shift my attention to the pen. I'll remember that's green. Oh, now there's a phone there. There's purple on that. I'll constantly keep my mind working and my awareness alive. And actually, if I was dreaming right now, I'd be like, oh, there's a phone there. And that would trigger me to think about one of my crystals, like my channeling crystal, which I could use like a cell phone in a dream. It's very, cool. You can do a lot of amazing things with crystals.
Free long distance.
It's very interesting, actually, because you actually have like these like bedazzled jewels on them, which are like amethyst and quartz. So all things being symbolic, if this was a dream, that's what that would represent to me personally.
Cool.
So see the way that if you take your moment in reality and you look around and find what is symbolic to you, this is a great way to discover your own subjective reality. Because when you tear apart your dreams, when you explore them and you write your dreams down, keeping a dream journal is the most effective, efficient way to study your dreams. And probably the best thing I ever did in my life was to begin a dream journal. And the symbols of your dreams, you just begin to see that everything's a dream, and even waking reality has symbols for you and wants you to know things and wants to keep you aware at all times.
Cool. So when you did the first time you lucid dreamed, you wrote dream on your hand and you were looking at your hands and I'm dreaming. So how long did it take you to actually induce a lucid dream from the first time that you decided you wanted to do it?
I would say it probably took me about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. I had a friend who I gave her that technique a long, long time ago. She had a dream in like 2 or 3 days. She was like, oh my God, I just had a dream. But I've read in different mystical books that women are built differently for dreaming than men because they have a different kind of energy. And, it took me about 2.5 weeks. And then once I realized I could do it, I just started doing it all the time. I do it more economically now, but when I first started for my first couple years, it was writing my dream journal, 5-6 dreams a night, waking up, writing a dream down, going into a dream, talking to the characters that I'm in this new dream about the previous dream I just had, and just totally exploring the invisible worlds as much as I could.
So do you wake up after, because I've tried to do a dream journal, and if I wake up to use the washroom at 5 a.m. or whatever, and I remember a dream, like I'll try and write it down really quickly. But then after that, I'm wide awake and I can't get back to sleep, which is really a pain.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why I'd be more economical about it now. Now I'll set aside time for a night where I'm going to dream, or I'm going to take 2 days near the full moon and really focus on certain things.
So you don't write down your dreams every morning?
I don't anymore, but I will write them throughout the day. Like, I will always catch a dream. And basically, I don't do it as much as I used to. Like, I will write, like, maybe 2 pages of a dream, or I'll just, like, write a paragraph.
2 pages.
That seems a lot to you?
Yeah.
Wow. When I was doing, like, 7-8 pages back in the day. Whoa. Like, I'd catch my first dream in every dream. Like seriously, it was... My early dream journals are pages long, and you'd be amazed at what you can remember once you start writing them down, because it's like a piece of thread. You just find the tip of the thread and you go follow it back to the spool of dreaming information, and there's a lot there, and there's so many. But the thing about dreams is the dreams have so much information in them. You could find one image, even one phrase said to you in a dream, and let that float around you know, your mind for a couple of days. And that one phrase or one image will show you several different perspectives on many situations in your life. Like, dreams are so multi-layered and intelligent. And yeah, the catching the tiniest bit of a dream will help. But keeping a dream journal will certainly be one of your great joys.
Cool. Okay. So what about now when we've talked about techniques, and first of all, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Jason Pollitt, who is a lucid dreaming expert, I would say. You've been lucid dreaming for a long time. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Again, the number is 604-822-2487. Call us and I'll put you on the air if you have a question about lucid dreaming. So myself, lucid dreamed. I've had experiences where I just by accident realized I was dreaming. And then I wanted to lucid dream and I had like beginner's luck. And I realized I was dreaming. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to fly around in my dream. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I woke up right away.
For sure.
After I got to fly for like a couple seconds.
So exciting.
Which is like the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
Flying.
Absolutely.
Wow, it's awesome.
Absolutely. Maintaining control of yourself is more important than controlling the dream in a lucid dream. Like, yeah, it's very easy to slip back into a dreaming state and it's very easy to wake yourself up. And that's why shifting your awareness is so important. And back to catching the dreams. You were saying a moment ago how you couldn't you'd be awake. You know, you'd write a little bit of your dream down, then you'd be awake for an hour. And that is tough, but that's also a great place to be. I mean, you can use that opportunity to basically meditate yourself back into a lucid dream. And that's one of the ways I'm more economical now. I'll wake up when I wake up fairly early, and I will stay awake for like half an hour to an hour after writing a dream down. And then I'll do some breathing techniques to visualize my energy body, you know, get in touch with my imagery by imagining my energy field, by imagining my chakras, by, you know, imagining myself leaving my body, going out the door and flying into the sky. And those images will, it's a great way to take yourself into meditation. Use those images to image yourself into the imagery of a dream. Like, you can basically, if you meditate yourself at that state, you can take yourself directly from waking consciousness into a dream. It just takes a little patience, and people are too readily like, I need sleep. But you're not there for the sleep. You're there for the dreams. Well, the sleep will happen of its own, you know? You just need to keep your mind aware so that you can catch the dreams as the sleep happens.
So that's why you specifically focus, like, just a couple of nights where you're...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know...
Able to lose the sleep?
Like, well, yeah, or where I just... Yeah, basically, where I'm able to lose... No, see, that's... You don't lose any sleep. I find even if I have 3 or 4 hours of sleep, but I have some potent dreams, I'm energetic and refreshed. The healing process that happens during sleep, I don't feel personally, is confined to the amount of time you sleep as much about the great energy you receive from sleep. And I think that you receive more energy from your experience in dreaming. Because I have been active all night long, dreaming and flying and talking and traveling and practicing changing forms. Like, I want to be a bird. I want to be a cat. Oh, I'm a dragon. You know, just, and I mean, I'm awake. I'm there doing all that stuff. That's all me. But I'll wake up, my body will get out of bed in the morning and be like, la, 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 time about to go about my day. Like, there's no sleep lost. And that precious amount of time between wake up, writing a dream, and going back to sleep, you're not going to lose any sleep if you're not going to lose any energy if you meditate, you know? I mean, essentially, you're just in a brief moment, and you can take that opportunity to go back into dreaming. It's tough, though. It's tough. I mean, and it's very tough to get those first, to reach over for that light switch and the pen in the journal at 4:30 in the morning and have that bright,
so
bright glare over
bed.
Your eyes and you're like trying to write your dream down. Yeah, it's tough, but it's well worth it. Definitely.
So it sounds like it takes just a little bit of discipline, at least to get you started.
Well, it takes some discipline for sure. And again, you know, it's very easy to, you could say all day long, I want to have a lucid dream, I want to have a lucid dream, and you could test reality. And you know, then you go to sleep and like, or you might go and party that night or whatever, whatever. And, you know, your intention goes away. Intention is so important to dreaming and to becoming lucid and just to life in general. Intention is so important. And just staying within the intention is bound to bring you a lucid dream.
Cool. So you've mentioned that you have been able to take crystals into your dreams and focus on your chakras and stuff. Have you ever, for example, been able to heal yourself from an illness or an injury or make your eyelashes grow longer or, you know, something like that?
I haven't made my eyelashes grow longer, but I have healed a cold.
Yeah.
I remember I used mantras and crystals. I used a Herkimer diamond and a mantra for healing. I believe it was a Hindu mantra. It was about 5 years ago, but I remember the experience vividly because I was really sick. I was sick, man. I was willing to try anything to get rid of it. My nose was stuffed. My eyes were watery. My face was puffy. And so I basically took this crystal and for about 20 minutes, I chanted a mantra into it. And
this was as you were drifting off to sleep or while you were lucid dreaming?
You know, this was like, this wasn't even while I was drifting to sleep. This was like in like 8 o'clock at night. I'm just like, I'm going to do a little magic. I'm going to try and do this thing. So I basically chanted the mantra into the crystal, with intention, like holding it up to my mouth so that my breath and my vibrations would get on the crystal and the healing mantra would get in the crystal. And, I put in the Herkimer diamond. Actually, is a very potent crystal. I've used it for a long time. I put it under my pillow, and that night I didn't have any lucid dreams. But I remember having a dream where I said, "Wow, mantras are powerful." And I woke up in the morning, and I was fine, clear as a bell, no stuffiness, no runny eyes. I could have run a marathon, man. I felt great.
Nice.
And I'd say yes. I have healed myself. Nothing massive. I haven't. You know, but I think that's that. To me, that's a great thing. Just the common cold. They don't even have a cure for the common cold. So.
No. Cool. It would be cool if you could like do stuff like wake up 3 inches taller. Like, okay, I'm going to be a supermodel today.
Or be like Keanu Reeves and wake up and just be like, I know karate.
Okay, well, it's time to take another break. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Synchronicity here on CITR.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Join Team PowerSmart. Set an energy conservation target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/Team PowerSmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
And if you look into a book, you might just say, I had fun just like Run, DMC and Jay.
Flash your friends a CITR card and get discounts at Lucky's Comics, RX Comics, Magpie Magazine, People's Co-op Bookstore, and Spartacus Books. Support CITR and pick up your card today.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, or rebroadcast on empowerradio.com. So we're talking with Jason Pollitt, who is a lucid dream expert, been dreaming for, dreaming probably all of his life, but lucid dreaming for the last 15 years or so, and he also does dream interpretation. So if you have have a recent dream that you can recall, give us a call right now, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And Jason can interpret your dream. We have about 15 minutes left in the show before Scotty's Scenic Drive starts. So give us a call now with your dream, 604-822-2487, 822-2487. UBC CITR. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, let's talk about dream interpretation, Jason. So how do you, because, you know, I've seen the books at Chapters and, you know, you look, oh, the phone's ringing.
Stop.
Hang on. Here we go. Let's see what happens. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name's Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Are you, do you have a dream to interpret?
Yeah, I do. It was a while ago, but it's very, very vivid and still strong. I had a dream that, I was washing Michael Jackson's hair.
Interesting.
And I was using a shampoo called Tears No More.
Interesting. Well, you know, that... Let me say that I've had a lot of, not a lot, but I've had a couple Michael Jackson dreams as well, and one of them involved a candle. So I think that there's a lot of, dreams are multi-layered, and that actually sounds a bit like a community dream and a personal dream. Was this recently, or?
Actually, it was during the time when he was being charged for sexual abuse.
Oh, interesting, okay. Well, that makes me think almost that, like, you had a bit of, like, extrasensory perception happening, because personally, maybe on a communal level, Michael Jackson's tears are over. But also, I think for yourself, you know, you're washing Michael Jackson's hair. There could be aspects of yourself that are, like, you know, creative. Not suggesting that, you know, you've done any harm to anybody, but maybe you have, like, personal vices. Not saying Michael Jackson did either, but as a reflection of you know, I guess just as a reflection of inner turmoil. And the washing of the hair is like cleaning of the thoughts and the mind. So, like, any confusions that run around your mind that cause you distress or sadness, if you've been depressed, or if there's common images that keep coming up to you or memories that keep coming up to you that bring those sensations of sadness or grief, you can just wash them out of your hair. You can just clear them out. You know, those are just thoughts and images. Often I'll have dreams of, like, a hat or wigs when I've got different ideas. And so I think that that's just a simple image of you being able to basically take care of your own thought process and in turn be able to take care of your own feelings.
Fascinating. Yeah, that does resonate.
Perfect. I'm glad I could help.
Great. Thank you. Thanks. A great program, too.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
Take care.
Okay. So that was a live dream interpretation right here on Synchronicity. If you want your dream interpreted, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. So before the call came in, we were talking about the dream books that give you, like, the definition. So if you dream about this, it means this. But a lot of times I've picked up those books and, you know, you'll read the definition and just be like, no, that's not what the dream was about. And you know that it's for someone. Oh, we're popular today. Yeah. I guess people are dreaming all over the place. All right. So who's the caller now?
Oh, yes. My name is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
So are you wanting to have your dream interpreted?
Yeah, yes.
All right, go for it.
Okay, I had a dream a couple days ago, and I'm on holidays now, but I dreamt about my workplace, and I kind of have a sort of a stressful workplace. But when I dreamt about my workplace, all of a sudden, everything seemed really bright, and there were plants growing everywhere, and everyone was really happy, and I felt really comfortable there. So I don't really, it just seemed really like I was in a different place, but I was in the right place kind of thing. I'm not really explaining it right, but it was really strange.
Well, it actually sounds like you explained it really well. You're in a different place, but in the right place. I think it's a simple matter of shifting perceptions.
Okay.
The vacation sounds like, I mean, it may be very stressful, but the job sounds, it sounds like it's the right place for you. I don't know what it is that you do, but the vacation could simply have helped you have a new perspective on job or just given you a break from that stress.
Okay.
The fact that there's plants in your workplace shows that there's growth. I think there's a lot of potential for growth there.
The plants are very vivid. They're really, really strong. Like, it was amazing sense.
Do you remember what kind of plants they were?
One was cannabis, but the other ones were arbutus trees and spruce trees and salal bushes, like local.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that let's take this on to another level. I think that a perception shift is the first part of the dream there, just simply being in a different place, but in the right place. That's you changing your perception on it and
sure.
being able to enjoy work a little more. Do you live in Vancouver?
Yes.
Okay. The tree names are street names out here, and for me, I would personally think about those areas of town. Maybe there's something I need to know there. Maybe some growth will come from that area. Even it may not, but I mean that's just one of the ways that I would look at a dream because there's so much information, and dreams want to help you in every way possible. So you want to explore every angle. And, you know, I'll touch on the cannabis even. The fact that plant was there, I think, and that it's a stressful environment. We talked about plants a little bit earlier in this show. And I think, again, stress relief, man, just different perceptions. Don't stress too much about your work environment and realize that there's lots of potential there for you.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Great. Well, thanks for calling
in. All right, Dan, thanks.
So we may have time for one more quick dream. So if you want to get on the air, give us a call, 822-2487-604, UBC-CITR, before we wrap up the show. So if we have a chance to talk about it before someone else calls in, what do you think of those dream interpretation books?
You know, I think there are certain archetypes that we all have in our dreams, like mother characters, father characters, and, you know, the mentor character, the hero character. There's certain communal archetypes. But then, you know, like even an apple is a common archetype. However, like that apple could also represent different things to different people. Like maybe you lived on an apple orchard, you know, maybe, I don't know, you had your mom like slipped on an apple and broke her hip, you know? So your associations to an apple is going to be different. So therefore the feelings attached to it are going to be different. And so the dreams that come from it are going to be different. Yet at the same time, there will be archetypes. And that's why there's personal and communal dreams. Like, and actually the communal dreams are fantastic because communal dreams, I believe, are a great opportunity to psychic ability because you see things for the community.
Is a communal dream like a dream that everybody's having, or what do you mean by communal dream?
I mean, like, often you might have a dream that has information for you, obviously, but it's good to tell that dream to somebody because that dream may be more for them. There might be, you know, like the Sonoy have great dream techniques. I remember a great book that I read was about the Sonoy Indians who were a dreaming culture, and they would all sit around, all the family, every day would talk about their dreams, and the whole tribe would then talk about the dreams, and somebody might have a dream and they talk about it and discuss it. And they're like, okay, I think that means we should move camp. And they all go because, I mean, we're all connected. I mean, your vibrations and my vibrations, they're interacting right now. And so I'm going to pick up on things. I'm going to leave you today and you're still going to be in my energy field. Some things you say, some of your thoughts, some of your feelings. And, so obviously I'm going to pick up on things that you might not pick up on in the peripheral of our awareness. And I could help you in some way by a dream. You could help me in some way by a dream. And I guess that's what I mean by communal dreams.
Great. Okay. So someone emailed already about wanting to contact you. So how can people contact you?
I guess they can contact me through my Twitter account. It's Twitter, Jason Paulette, JASONPAWLETT.
Jason, P-A-W-L-E-T-T. I'll add you right now.
All right. And I guess I do have an email account. I haven't checked in a while, but I can start using that for dreams. It's a jpaw, J-A-Y dot P-A-W at hotmail.com.
Great. Thank you. So we have just a few minutes left in the show. So if you want to get a quick dream interpretation in, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Jason, is there anything that you want to add that you would like listeners to know that I haven't asked about?
I just want to say that you should all really consider starting a dream journal. I think it's the most important thing we can do is to try to understand ourselves. And yeah, you know, I think questions, we've talked about a lot of things, but I just think it's important that people really study themselves. And I think that's one of the great ways that we're going to change the world is by changing ourselves and studying ourselves and learning and growing and seeing how we affect the world around us and how we can grow and help the world around us grow. And I believe dreams can help do that.
Awesome. Okay, so tell me a little bit about some of your astral travels. Like, do you go places? Like, where do you go?
You know, you can go anywhere, really. Sometimes it's tough to travel very far. It takes lots of concentration. I'll very often fly. To be honest, I'll kind of just stick around the city. I will maybe, let's say I have something I need to do when I'm astral, I'll maybe go and practice that in the astral plane, and or I will go and explore that environment where I need to go to see if there's any information that I need to know. Because the astral plane, if you look at mystical books, is connected to the Akashic records. There's vibrations everywhere. And on the astral plane, you could go to a building and you could see the past of that building recorded on the astral plane. You just need to look into it. And you can explore so much. You can go anywhere you want. I remember one time when I had the iboga experience, actually, I had a fantastic experience where different energies came to me and showed me how to fly across the country. And they took me, basically, they stood at the end of my bed and looked at me and were like, "Are you coming?" And I jumped out of my body and a bunch of us flew into the sky and they took me across to Toronto. And basically, I remember hovering above Toronto with them and they showed me how to pull myself down into the city, basically focus on a point from the sky and draw myself down to it and then go look around. And so at that time, I went and visited friends and family. I hadn't seen my parents for a couple of years, so I walked through their house and I basically said hello to their spirits when I saw them. And the astral plane is a great plane for magic. It's best to help people. Always do something beneficial wherever you go when
cool.
you go there.
So when you have been astral projecting, have you seen any evidence that it's really happening? Or because, I mean, it could be your subconscious doing this traveling.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you go around the city, have you ever looked at, you know, the front of the province newspaper in the box and then woken up and been out and about and actually seen the same thing? Have you ever seen any evidence that was tangible that you could say, yes, I was kind of physically here, I saw this?
Yeah, I have. It's hard to give up specific examples because very often it wouldn't be so straightforward, like an image on the front of a newspaper or a lottery number or anything like that. But there will definitely be a synchronicity. And, there may even be two synchronicities at the same time. And I would say yes to that question. And people be like, well, I need definitive proof that there's another world. I need somebody to write a paper and show me their experiences. But they won't take the time to have the experience themselves. And so if you need confirmation of that, you just really need to practice it. You just really need to put it into play and do it. But you'll soon find that you can see many, many things.
Wonderful. Well, it's just about time to wrap up the show. So I really would like to thank Jason Pollitt for being here and sharing his wealth of information and knowledge about lucid dreaming. Thank you for being on the show.
No problem, Marie. Thanks for having me.
So you're welcome. And so hopefully you'll get a show on here. I know you've been filling in for the morning after show. So if that's Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays from 11:30 to 1. I believe we'll be doing the show this Tuesday.
Yeah, here on
some music
CITR.
Together. Yeah, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yeah, so it won't be about lucid dreaming, but you'll get to catch the vibe, catch the Jason vibe.
Yeah, you play some music. We have a website out here, vanmusic.ca, and we support the local music, so we try to get their tunes on the radio. And yeah, so if you want to check out some good music, listen to the morning after show on Tuesdays at 11:30 till 1 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Awesome. Thank you again for being on the show. And Scotty's Scenic Drive is up next here on CITR. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you may be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, or Empower Radio. Thank you for being here. Next week, I believe Dr. Jennifer is going to be on the show. We're going to be talking about the law of attraction and reality. Like, what is the reality of the law of attraction, and how do you weed out all the other crud that people are dishing out there? So listen next week for that. And I'll be back and have a fantastic weekend. Thank you for joining me here on Synchronicity.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.